Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Last weekend, the Donegal Co-op Livestock Mart held a 50th anniversary gala ball in the Central Hotel in Donegal Town. Like so many other co-ops, it has played a vital role in the lives of a considerable number of people. To find out more and to reflect on its early days, I've been speaking with Seamus Campbell, whose father, Seamus, was one of the founder members. Naturally enough, you've taken a particular interest in things down through the years.
I have indeed, Chris. Yeah, the mart was always a huge part of my life growing up. We were practically reared in the mart. I would have been 5 years old when the mart opened on the 19th of May, 1967. So it was definitely a very big part of my earlier life anyway. Indeed it was.
And the actual foundation of it, had it been something in the pipeline for a period of time? Was there a lot of work to actually get it off the ground?
Yeah, well, at the time, Chris, just looking back at it, I suppose in the early 60s and probably for a century beforehand, the only way that people, farmers, used to sell their stock, their cattle and their sheep in particular in this part of the world was by travelling to the fairs. We had our fair days in Donegal Town. The fair day was the second Friday of the month, and there were fairs in every town around Mancharlis, Dunkinilly, Ballantra and all around. And my father and a man, Tommy McCormick, would have been very influential. He was on the County Donegal Committee of Agriculture at the time, and they just sort of could see where marts were cropping up, particularly down south in that, but also in Donegal, through the gap, there were Yetstranor, Rafoe, Letterkenny and Carndonagh. They were all established at that stage. And so that's, I suppose, they thought, well, why not southwest Donegal? And that's what sort of got the planted the seed to maybe look about the possibility of setting one up here in Donegal Town.
So from small beginnings, it grew.
Yeah, they just sort of, as they said, they shook the bushes to see what the interest was like. Was there an appetite? And there seemed to be. They held meetings, and they decided, they got a good feel from the get-go, and there seemed to be quite an appetite there for a march. So they decided, because there were no big investors in those days, there was nobody with piles of money who was going to build a march for them, so they thought, well, we may go the cooperative route. So they decided that they would sell shares, and they set out teams of people out around the country to sell shares at £5 a share. That was what the cost of a share was at the time, and they got on quite well. They collected £4,000 in shares, and then they approached the bank to see how they would do. And the Ulster Bank, there was a manager by the name of Clements at the time, he said that he would match whatever monies they collected. So they had £8,000 to kick off with, which was a considerable amount of money at the time, and that's what got them going, Chris. Uh-huh.
Was there always a site in mind from earlier on, or did they have to look at a number of options?
Yeah, well, while they were collecting the shares, my father managed to buy a site from the late Paddy McGowan, Paddy the Senator in Lifford. He had just built the Pavisi Ballroom, which still stands there. It's the John Bosco Centre now. The Pavisi was built, and there was a field at the back of the Pavisi. My father felt that would be an ideal site for a mart, which it was, convenient to the town and just a wee bit on the outskirts at the same time. And he bought the field, and they managed to get an engineer by the name of O'Connor. He had an engineering company in Cork who was designing marts, and the mart was sort of built to suit the monies that they had, I suppose, more so than the size that they required. But however, as it was adequate and it done, and the site was developed, and the work started in January 1967, and they finished it opened on the 19th of May, which I think was incredible in such a short time that they opened for cattle. And Chris, as an aside from that, the men that built the mart, my father and a few lads that he gathered up locally here, builders and, you know, local labourers and that, they left. Once they built the mart in Donegal, they headed to Milford. And they started working on Milford Mart in May, and Milford Mart was opened in September of the same year. So I just thought that was incredible when I discovered that. John Stewart, the current manager of Milford Mart, was at our do there on Saturday night, and he confirmed all that. They're having their celebrations next year, and it was great work for a team of lads just to go and to build two marts, you could say, in the 1 year, you know.
You mentioned a number of the other marts, and no doubt over time people learnt from each other and kept an eye on what was happening just up or down the road.
That's right, and that was a big thing because there was huge resistance from the dealers at the time. Like, the dealers, I suppose, had it their own way at the fairs. You know, I wouldn't say they could monopolise it, but they certainly, they've had it their way for a long time. And you could totally understand how the dealers felt aggrieved that this whole new idea was now where people were going to come in and they were going to have to compete against other dealers openly. And so the dealers were sort of felt a wee bit aggrieved, but there was quite a resistance. But people like... from the cooperative movement, I got clippings out of the papers where the likes of Father McDyer from Glencolumbkill, the great cooperative activist from Glencolumbkill, came up and spoke at one of their meetings, and the manager of the Mart in Raphoe at the time, by the name of Cahoon, I think it was Harry Cahoon, along with a farmer from Raphoe, came and spoke at a meeting and said, "Well, look, here's us in Raphoe, our Mart's going now a couple of years, and we've been very successful," and you know, so they could see that it was, you know, that it was definitely the way to go, and that the farmers would buy in. One of the things I think that really the farmers worried about was, like, and previous to this, they went home with money in their pocket, how little or how much it was. You know, they went home with the price of the cow in their pocket or whatever it was. Now they had to wait for maybe the guts of a week before the cheque would come in the post. So that was something to get used to as well. You know, but then they saw things happening, like maybe dealers meeting them on the road on the way to the mart, and the dealer buying the base, and then Gara, the dealer showing the same base in the mart later on in the day and making a profit at it. So then they got to say, well, you know, the marts are the place to get the best price. So that's the way it sort of developed then from then on.
I'm speaking with Seamus Campbell about the 50 years of Donegal Cooperative Livestock Mart. Seamus, you touched on it there. In the early days, there was nowhere near the amount of paperwork that there is now, and that was a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the regulation that's there now with tagging and recording and movement and all that there wasn't quite as much of that. There still were tags, and I wasn't even sure about that till I went investigating. You know, cattle were tagged in those days, and that, but you know, the cattle moved more freely and that. And I was speaking to the man that worked in the office, the very first secretary, Jackie McMullen. I went out to speak to him last week about it. You know, and you know, he said compared to now, you know, it is so different. You know, they did the best they could, and they had a good system in place where cattle were booked in and their tags were read and they had a lot number put on their back. But he told me a story of a man that used to come from Belfast, and he could buy maybe, you know, later on in years when the mart could go, and he could have maybe 70 or 80 or maybe 100 head of cattle, and they were all put in a field up behind the mart, and there could be maybe 200 or 300 head of cattle mixed through each other, and then the next day they would all have to be read and checked before they were sent away, you know. So there was a lot of labour, a lot of work, and one of the things I found out as well, Chris, was that the staff committed to working for 6 months for free. That was their contribution towards the mart. The staff volunteered that they would work for free for 6 months at the mart. And I was speaking to some of the current staff at the mart on Saturday night, and they were joking that, well, joking or not, I don't know, but they were saying, I think we're still working for free. It seems like we're all still working voluntarily. But that was the commitment that the staff gave at the time too.
So you had a function in the Central Hotel in Donegal Town to mark the 50 years. Was there a 25th anniversary?
There wasn't, no. This was the first sort of gathering. Back in the day, the Mart Dinner Dance, and they would all tell, remember Dom Breslin, God of Mercy and Dom in the Abbey Hotel, and he used to always say the Mart Dinner Dance was sort of kicked off dinner dances. It was the biggest night that they had in the Abbey Hotel during the years. But then they sort of, they fizzled out in that, you know, and there wouldn't have been, there would have been a couple of fundraiser dances, you know, but this was great. Now it was a great occasion because the mart, it's well documented, there's been lots of trouble and at the mart over the years, and you know, it has been a struggle with most marts, but it was great to see a good happy occasion that we had dealers and farmers and people, we had lots of politicians and we had the AFA and we had all sorts of everybody, and it was lovely, a lovely occasion to reminisce. And they had a slideshow, the Eamon McGuinness the manager, had put together a slideshow from photographs that she had gathered up to, from people over the years. And, you know, it was great. And there's some great stories told about characters, about some of the dealers and some of the things that went on, you know, in the mart over the years. So it was a very enjoyable night altogether.
And no doubt there were many people who hadn't seen each other for many years.
Absolutely. Some of the older generation came in to tell, to give their tuppence worth, and it was great. It was, there was no doubt about it. One of the things I was really hoping, one of the people that worked in the mart down the years told me that one of the best things that they ever did was to employ the auctioneer Campbell Rankin from Tuer up in Muff. And he was a very well-renowned auctioneer at the time. And Campbell Rankin stayed at the mart for years and years. And it's only in recent years that the distance became a lot for him and that. And he left the mart. But he's in middling health, but he wasn't able to travel to it. But, you know, they were all talking about how good it was, one of the best things they did, because Campbell was a great auctioneer who gave every farmer the best chance to get the most amount of money for their animals, you know. And he'd be well, you know, he was well gotten in Donegal now, there's no doubt about it. And we wish him well. We hope that he's keeping well.
The fact that the IFA president, Joe Healy, made the trip to Donegal also reflects the importance of the occasion.
Yeah, you know, no more. The IFA have their challenges of late too, you know, and Joe got up and he spoke. Now he's a good man to talk now, and he got up and he's Donegal and the West Coast is very familiar to him and that, and he spoke about the challenges that we're encountering, and we're going through a very difficult time with Brexit and with the uncertainty with sterling and the export, and we can see it in the trade at present. It's very poor at the minute, you know. So it was nice to have Joe come and recognise and you know, it sort of makes people feel, well, you know, what we are doing is important, and to keep it going, you know, and it's a service there for the farmers and the dealers and the exporters alike, you know.
Now, many farmers, it's become part of the everyday life that there's this increasing use of technology, and the marts are in the same boat. There's new apps coming on stream, there's new software, there's more and more computerized accounts. People can even sit in their living room and look at live link-ups at marts in different parts of the world. Incredible amount of change, particularly the last few years.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I do a little bit of farm myself. I keep just some sheep and some sucklers, and I oftentimes wonder how people, you know, maybe some of the older generation that wouldn't be used to this modern technology, and how they keep up with it all. You know, I suppose, Chris, a lot of farmers now have advisors and have consultants that assist them, you know, and reps planners and one thing and another. And I know only for mine, I wouldn't manage. So I don't know how some people keep up with it. Now, there is great technology. There's no doubt about it. And if you're not afraid of it, if you're not frightened of it, it's I'm sure it's a great thing, you know, but it certainly must be a challenge for a lot of the people that are in the business at the minute, that's for sure.
So the event itself, the celebrations were a great success, and who knows what the next 25 and 50 years will hold in store.
Well, yeah, that's what I asked. I asked on the night I got up, just to give a wee bit of a rundown on the early days. And, you know, when I just spoke about, you know, the forward-mindedness of the people that kicked the thing off and got the ball rolling, and that hopefully, you know, that we'll hold on to the farmers, and that they'll keep coming and supporting the mart. And please goodness, it'll not be me, but someday in 50 years' time, I'll be going up talking at the 100th anniversary, and that there still will be a place for a livestock mart in southwest Donegal and Donegal town.
And one final point, Seamus Campbell, important to recognise also that by having the mart there, it acts as a social catalyst. It brought people together, and also important for the local economy, because when there were people going to the mart, they were spending money often in the vicinity.
Absolutely, that's a big thing. And even the first part that you mentioned, Chris, the whole social part of it, one of the speakers, I think it was Joe Healy, spoke about about, you know, the benefit of people coming maybe on their Friday to the mart, you know, and we speak away about positive mental health, and, you know, for many people that are, you know, having all sorts of challenges during the week, it's maybe their only opportunity to air their grievances, or to meet somebody or a friend or a neighbour or another farmer maybe in similar difficulties, and, you know, and have that talk, you know, and to communicate, and that's such a big thing. And like, I do see farmers in there, and they mightn't have any intention of either buying or selling on the day, but they just come in to meet up with other people and have the chat. Without a doubt, the Mart is it's a big social hub. There's no doubt about that.
Seamus Campbell there, reflecting on the 50th anniversary of Donegal Co-op Livestock Mart. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steer-based €3.65 to €3.70 a kilo. Heifers making €3.75 to €3.80 a kilo. Young bulls making €3.60 to €3.85 a kilo. And cows, €2.80 to €3.40 a kilo. Sheep prices, well, factories paying €4.50 to €4.65 a kilo. Numbers tighter, ewes making €2.20 to €2.50 a kilo. That's it for tonight's Farming News and Views from me, Chris Ashmore. Until next week, thanks for listening.